Hey, this is Dexter Sites.
My name's Caleb Wood.
My name is Billy McLaughlin.
And you're listening. You are listening to the Drum Report.
To the GoPro Drum Report.
To GoPro Drum Report.
On Verbmoto.
On Verbmoto.
On Verbmoto.
Sunday. Prepare to get annihilated with an awesome opportunity. Featuring your favorite motocross brand, Verbmoto. Win a grand prize of a Yamaha Wolverine R-Max 2 1000 Sport. Two 2024 Yamaha TTR 110 e-motorcycles. And $20,000 cash. But wait, there's more. There's also additional weekly prizes. New merch, pocket-breaking prizes, our pockets, definitely not your pockets. The more you buy, the more points you earn. We're stacking points, baby. Come get them. Visit shopverb.com for more or dial 1-800-VERB-MOTO. That's not a real number. Don't call us, please. No purchase necessary. Rules and regulations apply. See shopverb.com for official rules.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Brad here from Verbmoto. Want to give a huge shout out to RXR Protect. Now, you're going to want to go over to RXRProtect.com and check out their entire inventory because they have so many options. They use what's called air shock absorber technology, and it's this air bladder inside the chest protector that's going to keep you safe from big crashes, small crashes, what have you. And on top of that, you're also going to be feeling extremely comfortable in this garment. I currently have two different models. I love both of them. Honestly, the hardest decision I have every day is deciding which one of my RXR Protect chest protectors that I'm going to wear. They've got really cool colors. They got really cool designs, and you can even do some customization to have your name and number on these things. So go to rxrprotect.com and check out the entire inventory. You're going to be really happy with what you see. Let us know what you like, and stoked on it. So RXR Protect and rxrprotect.com. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Grom Report here on Verbmoto. I'm your host, Brad Gebhardt, but with me on the line, a very special guest, someone I've been looking forward to having on for quite some time as soon as he filled out his registration for World Mini. He had some success there. We're going to talk about it. We're talking about the 444 of Wyatt Duff. Wyatt, how's it going?
Oh, it's going good, man. The Verbmoto race was awesome, and I had a great time out there.
Absolute, dude. All the way from Kentucky, 13 years young, riding those KTMs in the Super Mini classes, and turning a wheel out at Mesquite MX. Had you been to Mesquite before?
No, I had never been to Mesquite. I've only ever come out here for Mammoth and the Cal Classic that used to be at Paula, I think, or Fox Raceway. That's all I've ever been out here for.
Yeah, and absolutely. You know, it is called Fox Raceway now, and you are a Fox athlete, like we said, all the way out of Kentucky. So the biggest question for a lot of people that might be listening is, what would make a kid from all the way from Kentucky travel across the country to compete at a track he's never been to before for all the racing glory that is World Mini?
Well, I thought it was a great opportunity to learn some of the West dirt. Like, we don't get to ride that much. We're always on the East Coast grind, running all the deep ruts and stuff. And I thought it'd be cool to get in some practice out here for all the pro nationals that come out here and stuff like that.
Killer. Yeah, absolutely. A great way to get yourself acclimated. And Mesquite is a bit of a, it's a West Coast track, but like the way that they prep it, like the guys who own the track, they do such an amazing job kind of keeping the moisture in the soil and just working it and working and working it some more. The lines were super deep. You were fortunate enough to get some really good starts. You had some clean air ahead of you, but tell me a little bit about racing the track itself. Just how deep some of those ruts get, and were you like me on the vet line around the outside, or were you digging deep on those inside ruts?
So yeah, it's a lot different than all the California tracks I've ever ridden. Well, I guess we were in Nevada or wherever we were.
Yeah,
and it'd be gnarly rutted through the corners, like back at East Coast. So I'd be trying to find some ruts I know how to ride good, and but early mornings, you go for those outsides and just hold it wide open all the way around.
How about that, the elevator, that the hill in the middle of the track? It seems to take forever, and it's right, basically right out of a,
not quite a hairpin corner, but it's about as not 180 degrees as you can possibly be without being straight down and back. Going up that hill, you just let the KTM eat or what?
Yeah, on the Super Mini, it's no challenge for that, but on the 85, getting up that hill feels like ages. It takes forever. That thing has to work a lot with me on it.
No doubt, one of the bigger kids on it. You're 13 years old, like taller than most 13-year-olds, I'd probably kind of guess. You've put a lot of time on the Super Mini as well. What can you take from the Super Mini and move it over to the smaller bike? And what can you take? What about being able to sort of override the 85 allows you to go faster on the Super Mini?
So everything's the exact same except the motor. So all the handling and stuff, and I'll take all the same lines, and I won't go somewhere I wouldn't on the other bike. But on the going from the Super Mini down to the 85, it feels like you can manhandle the bike when you go from all that power down to a little bike and you're just waiting on it everywhere.
Fair enough. So let's talk about mullet power. And that's a power that you tap into on a weekly basis when the gate drops. You got the salad that hangs out the back of the hat, the helmet, and everything else that comes in between. Tell me about the hairstyle, why you decided to go that route, and how it benefits your game.
Well, I don't know, really know exactly why I picked it. I let my hair grow out really long once. I mean, not really long, but pretty long. And then I didn't like how long my hair was in the front, so I cut it. And then I kind of just left the back because I wanted to see how it looked like in a mullet. And then I liked it, so we left it. And I've loved it ever since.
Hey, it seems to be working for Chase Sexton, so why not tap into that a little bit yourself? Up here where I'm from, we call that hockey hair because that's sort of the look for most hockey players. But I think it looks good on you, man. Tell me a little bit about the race itself, World Mini. Some of the guys you were dicing with, take me through a few of the motos that you felt either were a challenge or really went your way.
So I really love how that format was, how you could race in for your gate pick. That was really cool. And yeah, I was racing a bunch of fast people, Seba and a couple of I think Danyon is one of the West Coast kids I'd never raced before. He rips out here. And yeah, a couple of those races. So the earlier ones, for some reason, I had like a first moto morning every day on the 85. And it was tougher for me on the 85, very first moto, because it would be deep and I'm one of the bigger kids on the 85, but I tried to give it everything I had, and definitely when the track got rougher, I performed a little bit better, I thought, and a little bit rougher and gnarlier, but it was all awesome.
When the track gets rough, Wyatt gets going. And the track changes a lot throughout the day. Like you said, right off the hop, it's basically a highway out there. You pick your outside lines and just leave the throttle taped. And then throughout the day, those inside lines just develop and they curl over and they get big acceleration bumps out of that. Do you feel like racing in a place like that is going to help you not only just to get used to the West Coast dirt that you one day hope to race on as a professional, but just overall bike skill in general? And I think that's one of the main driving points behind the RMX series in general.
Yeah, it helps a lot with like throttle control. Like if you're coming out like the outside of a corner, some of the outside would be pretty dry, and not like on the 85 it wasn't a big problem, but on the Superman, if you cracked on it, it would step loose. You had to get used to just babying it, and it was a something I don't normally mess with a lot back home, but it was pretty cool.
Fair enough. So I know you're on Super Minis now, and happen to know you also have a 125 at home. What's the timeline as far as dabbling your feet more into that world? I know you're only 13, so you may spend a couple more years still on the Super Minis. Tell me a little bit about that progression and getting acclimated on a full-size bike.
So I just got the 125 to start. When we started training a bunch on the Super Minis, we needed a bike that we could beat the hours out of, and it'd mm-hmm. keep running for a long time. Got to rebuild those Super Minis every like 5 hours. And so we just needed a bike to train hard on, and also to get used to the bigger bike, the big frame, how everything works, and getting used to like a linkage on the rear end, a bunch of little tweaks on a big bike. And so we're looking at, I think, we don't know what we're doing this year at Loretta's, either mini senior or super mini. And then the year after that, I think we might go to 125s or we might ride super mini again. Depends on how whatever the scale says.
Yeah,
and
I guess it's going to depend on how heavy you get, how tall you get. Because, yeah, if you start pushing 5'9", 5'10", like, there's a limit on the Superman.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about some of the deals that you've been able to broker for this particular year. You're riding KTMs, but I don't know that you're part of the KTM Junior or KTM Amateur Program. You're a Monster athlete. You're a Fox athlete, as well as you rock the Oakley goggles, which you check three pretty nice boxes there as far as help. Who else is in your corner making sure that you get to the races each weekend and making sure you're supported?
Somebody I really don't think gets enough rep from everybody is Power Van Racing Suspension. They are always supporting me, and that's an awesome. Those are some awesome people, and also Dunlop Pro Circuit, Lynx Racing, and a bunch of people from back home supporting me.
That's super sick, man. It's great to give some love to those who are helping you out. Yeah, like it seems like you've really been on the upward trend in the last number of years, rolling all the way back to 2019 when we first saw you at the KTM Juniors. It's amazing that you were racing KTM Juniors based in 2019 and then now knocking down wins and championships on a super mini. You've been at it for quite some time.
Yeah, it's been a while. I think the first time I ever rode a dirt bike, I was 4 years old. And then 6 years old, I did my first race on a CRF 50 at a little arena cross back home. And then it's been history ever since.
No doubt. So might be a difficult question to answer, but if Wyatt, you're just dressed completely all in like black, your black bike, and the fans didn't know you from Adam, what would be sort of like a calling card for your riding style, how they'd pick you out from anybody else? Like what's sort of the giveaway from 100 yards away that it's your riding style? How do you put your stamp on it?
Well, I would say normally out in practice I don't do this too bad, but when it comes to a race and I will really rev the bike in the air, just like how Deegan used to do it. Mm-hmm. Wide open rev limiter through the air. I don't know why. It's just something that comes to me. I feel like I'm making progress in the air, even though I'm not.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, like I think Justin Barsha was maybe one of the first guys to use that to perfection. And yeah, if you listen to the 250 class, especially like the first practice, those guys, and they almost can't help it. Like I'm sure some of them have probably tried not to do exactly that. But they just end up doing it anyway, out of just excitement, I suppose. You kind of shut your brain off and go. Do you find sometimes it's like that when you're out there, just sort of putting in laps that you're almost on autopilot a little bit?
Yeah, I'll find myself sometimes like not even thinking about anything. I don't know, like, I don't know how that even happens. I'll just be, and then I'll realize I'll be like, I haven't thought about anything for a long time. And, yeah, it's, when you're out there for long motos, it's hard to keep your mind focused, but you got just, I'll catch myself and be like, nope, think about your riding, and you just try to stay in it.
Fair enough. So then when that moment happens, like we're on autopilot, we're just putting in the laps, we're in the middle of a 20-minute moto, what are the mental cues that get you to think about some of the things that you need to do to improve your game, whether it's standing more, elbows up, this, that, and the other thing? What are some of those things that you sort of go through in your head to, in order to not only lock yourself in a little bit better, but possibly drop your lap times as well?
Well, there's always the moments when you get real sketchy and you know you got to fix that. But then there also be times where, like, you know, you just feel you have extra potential in a certain section. And then you'll try a couple different things and you'll figure something out, and then you just keep running that, and that'll keep coming to you through a bunch of different sections and new lines, different ways of hitting it. That's how it works.
Fair enough. So what section in Mesquite had you in fits? Like, you were never able to do it the same way twice, or it was difficult to be consistent. First thing that comes to mind would probably be that infield triple, especially on the smaller bike. You got to grease that corner beforehand in order to launch that thing.
Yeah, that was very tough. I only was able to hit it a couple times. You'd have to go from, you have to either find a pretty good rut that's near the outside or just berm all the way around to be able to make it. And a really tough section for me was actually right after that. If you took the right side of that little split lane over that second single, I think the day before the last day, so that would have been Saturday, it was just deep, wet ruts. And, like, even my friend Tace, he jumped into them, flipped over the bars. It was pretty tough.
Yeah, no, those ruts can swallow you up. And I find it's very difficult to be able to sort of change your line once you've sort of committed to one in those switchbacks. You're basically at the mercy, and if someone happens to have a good roll on the outside or the inside, it's a great place to make up some time. It's also a difficult place to be defensive. What was the best battle you had over the entire weekend? Who'd you bang some fibulas with?
I would say me and I don't know. Me and Reese Seba had a couple battles, and then that Danyan Reed. We were back and forth quite a bit in the first motos. I had a bunch of battles going on running four classes. I had a lot of people going with.
Yeah, four classes, technically three races in each class, 12 separate motos, plus your practice sessions. Safe to say that your old man, or if you have a mechanic, has their work cut out for them, making sure that the bikes are good to go for this week coming up.
Oh, yeah. We'll be, like, when we were out there racing, we were messing on it until we pull them off the stand straight to the line, anything we could do to get a little bit of time.
I love it. Is your dad who works on the bikes?
Yep.
Nice. So what's something that your dad does really well as far as working on bikes? And what's something that you've had to get after him for?
Yeah. Well, this weekend he has, we didn't gas it up twice, so he had to bring gas to the gate. But other than that, he's done pretty good.
Okay. That's not a common mistake, but maybe just in the hustle and bustle of things can go awry. But yeah, these engines do take gasoline that is required to end up doing laps around the track. And, if Wyatt Duff went to the track by himself, what is the thing as far as mechanically wise that you would have no business doing? Like, I'm not touching that.
I would say I can do quite a bit of stuff.
Okay.
I don't know if I'd trust myself rebuilding something yet. I don't know. I don't think I'd try to go too deep yet.
Maybe a top end. We're not splitting the cases.
No, not splitting the cases.
Fair enough. We'll get to that eventually. Awesome, man. So what's on the docket heading up this way? Like, do you head further west into California, or what's the plan?
Yeah, right now we're sitting in a hotel in California. We're going to the Cal Classic. I've never rode Glen Helen. I think the track is supposed to be a little bit different.
They change it weekly. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so, yeah, I don't know how it works around here, so it's going to be pretty cool to figure it all out. The Verb Moto race was really good practice, getting used to some West Coast stuff. And, that's pretty much it until we get home, back on the grind, qualifiers for Loretta's, and then Minio's after that, I think.
There you go. Yeah, that basically just wrap up your entire year. So when you're back home in Kentucky, who does the majority of your training with you on the bike? Is that you? You're in your old man?
Yeah, just me and my dad just out there doing motos.
Love it, man. That sounds like making some damn good memories along the way as well. So how long do you think you'll be in California for? Just the Cal Classic and then turn tail to go back home, or what?
Yeah, once we get done here at the Cal Classic, we'll go back home. I think it's about a week. I think that's it, and we'll be back home.
Fair enough. And then I assume you've already been to an area qualifier. Where's your regional?
I know we did the one down in Lincoln Trail, and we did...
It was cold in Lincoln Trail.
Oh, yeah, very cold. That track was gnarly, though. Oh, it was deep.
That's why we do a shred tour race there.
Yeah. And I don't know where that went to. And then I think Did we do one more? I think I've only done that one. That was was that a Dad, what region was that?
North Central, and you did the Southeast.
Yeah, North Central, and then we did a Southeast somewhere.
Southeast, and then so where would you prefer to do your regional to qualify, or have you qualified for Loretta's now?
No, so we haven't done regionals yet. I'll really do them anywhere. I would probably prefer something like back home that I'm used to, but I'm good with anywhere.
Fair enough. So when you race a local race, or if you're somewhere in Kentucky, obviously, like you're coming in with, like you're one of the faster kids. You got a lot of speed coming along the way as well. Does that add pressure to be able to perform and do what everyone sort of quote unquote expects you to do? Or does that just grab some excitement? Because I'm sure there's some kids out there that maybe they haven't had a piece yet of being able to battle with you. You kind of get everyone's A game, don't you?
Yeah, I love just going out to the local races, and it's completely different than being out at like a big national. It's completely different kind of racing, but I mean, it's a little bit of pressure coming from like the big races and knowing you still got to perform, but it's fun.
Well, who do you look up to at the pro level?
I always try to like, I want my form and stuff to look like a Jet and Chase,
Okay.
and then but one of my favorite riders is Levi Kitchen and Joe Shimoda.
Okay. Well, that's those guys are pretty damn good. I think you just listed off half dozen guys that just have already won races here in 2024 here. So those are good guys to look up to. I know you've got an impressive list of sponsors. We listed them off earlier. Give those people some love for me real quick, and then I'll let you get on with the rest of your day, brother.
Yeah, I'd like to thank United Motorsports, Fox, Oakley, Monster, Powerband Racing, Lynx, Pro Circuit, Dunlop, and Roost Graphics.
Love it, man. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Do not hang up just yet, but for podcast sake, we're going to cut things off right there.